الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك، فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر، فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله، إن الله يحب المتوكلين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed great emphasis in our sharia upon unity. Allah ta'ala says, وَعَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. O people, hold fast unto the rope of Almighty Allah together. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not be dispersed. Do not be disunited. Because disunity has several repercussions. We find from the hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah. Allah's hand is on a united lot. That means the converse also is true. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand would not be on a group that is not united. The way the hadith says, Allah's hand is with a united lot. That means if you are not united, Allah's hands of rahmat and mercy and assistance will not be with you. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. Allah's blessing is with a united lot. That means if you are not united, Allah's blessing will not be with you. And this is what our elders have always been making mention to us. Hazrat Maulana Mahmood al-Hasan sahib rahmatullah alayh, who is also known as Sheikh al-Hind, he was imprisoned by the British for resistance against the British rule in India, in Malta. When he returned back from Malta, one day he told his people, he told the group of people, his students, and said, I have given much thought during my incarceration in Malta for the reasons of the downfall of Muslims today. Why are Muslims weak? And he said, I have come to the conclusion that they are weak because of two reasons. One is they abandoned the Quran, and the second is infighting. So he said two reasons why they have become weak. One is abandoning the Holy Quran, and one is disunity. That is why you find that the rest of his life thereafter he spent in addressing these two situations. He even wrote a tafsir of the Holy Quran, which started off a tafsir of the Holy Quran. One of the things that many people ask, that all this is true, but we have people who have different viewpoints from time to time. How do you deal with this? Is this against unity that we have difference of opinion? Now we must keep in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created people differently. وَمِنْ عَيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Allah has created the heavens and the earth. Among the signs of Allah, He created the heavens and earth, created different languages, created different colors. The beauty of the world is that everyone is not the same. Wallahi al-Azim, the world would not have been as beautiful as it is, that we have different colors, we have people with different attitudes, we have people with different type of perceptions, and we have people who are different from one another. That is the beauty of the world. If everyone was the same, what would have been the beauty of this world? In a similar manner, the way Allah has created people differently, Allah has also created people in terms of their mental understanding differently. So you have people who have difference in terms of the understanding because of their background, because of where they come from. For various reasons, you'll find people who are different in terms of their mental understanding, and also because of the way where they come from, their background, people will be different. And because of this, difference of opinion is inevitable. Difference of opinion will happen between people even with the best of intentions. Even with the best of intentions, you will have people who have difference of opinion. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his amazing book, Hudood al-Ikhtilaf, which has also been translated into The Limits of Difference of Opinion, had said, the only place in the world where there will be consensus will be in two instances. He said, where people are stupid, people are dumb, and people are dishonest. So people are stupid and dumb, they can't formulate and have opinions. And secondly is they are dishonest. It means they hear an opinion which they don't agree with, but because of lack of honesty and integrity, they don't make mention of their viewpoint. But he said, where there are people of intellect, people of understanding, and where there are people of honesty, then you will find that there would be difference of opinion. Now in the Sharia also, with regard to it, there are two types of these aspects. One is the fundamentals of deen. In the fundamentals of deen, there can be no difference of opinion. There can be no difference of opinion in the fundamentals of deen. So thus, if someone were to come and make a difference on Tawheed, on Risalat, on Akhirat, there is no scope for difference of opinion in fundamentals. To give you an example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of one amazing statement. He said that if someone comes to you and say, I'm a prophet, aliyadu billah, after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you ask him, what is your evidence? What is your evidence? So he said, never mind that person, you are close to kufr. You are close to disbelief. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the last prophet, is so fundamental to Islam that you cannot even ask another person for evidence. So in terms of fundamentals, there is no difference of opinion. But where the Quran and Hadith are silent on certain issues, giving us the scope of view how to perhaps the ulama or the intellectual people or the people of integrity and honesty to deal with the situation, where the Quran and Hadith are silent, or where there is scope for difference of opinion. In the past, there have been difference of opinion amongst the imma, amongst the ulama. And in those situations, those difference of opinion are inevitable. And where it happens, there should be respect with regard to those difference of opinion. There should be no fighting and quarreling and arguing. This has always been the way of the ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This difference of opinion, where the Quran and Hadith is silent, or where there is scope for difference of opinion, then there should be respect with regard to it. We'll find this many a times. In the time of the Sahaba, one day a person came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala used to recite 3 rakats of witr. Someone came to him and said, Muawiyah reads 1 rakat of witr. Muawiyah reads 1 rakat of witr. What did Abdullah ibn Abbas say? He didn't go and say, I'm right, he's wrong, and maybe he's like this. No. He said, Da'hu fa'innahu faqih. Leave him, he's a faqih. He's got his viewpoint, leave him with regard to it. Therefore, we find that by and large, the ulama have never used the mimbar to discuss issues of fiqh. Issues of fiqh are not supposed to be dealt with from the mimbar and the pulpit, especially a general pulpit. That whoever is following his fiqh, well, let him follow it. In that particular method, there is some sort of wisdom, Allah knows. So we find someone makes rafa yadain. So before he goes into ruku, he lifts up his hand before he goes into ruku. He comes up after ruku, he lifts up his hand. Some people don't do it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala narrates that he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't lift his hand before he went into ruku and after he came back from ruku. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making rafa yadain. Maybe Allah loved the Prophet of Allah so much, he wanted to keep all the adas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive. He wanted to keep all the practices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive. Is this something to fight about? Whoever creates a fight on this issue, he is creating fitna in the ummah. Both these hadith exist. One exists in Abu Dawud Sharif, one exists in Sahih Bukhari. Not a matter to discuss and argue about. In the hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore a white topi, a white kufiya. Sunan al-Bayhaqi makes mention in Khasais al-Kubra that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went into the bathroom, he wore a kufiya. Some people say it is not compulsory. Both these are fiqh issues which are not the reason why we should argue about. It is not the instances that we should fight about. Ye koi bhi ladne ki cheez hai. Today we fight and create tensions over issues that are peripheral as if they are central. We make it central when in reality they are not central issues. Or issues in which Sharia allows diversity of opinion as if there is only one opinion on the matter. The Sharia does not allow us, let me repeat this, the Sharia does not allow us to create arguments against other interpretations of the Quran and Hadith. As long as it is within a particular frame of reference. The Sharia says we must create arguments over evil, not over interpretations of fiqh, over evil. And you see, we got a whole reason for this. If this is in Christianity and Judaism, we can understand there should be a lot of arguments. That is why you have different churches. With regard to, in Christianity, for example, the Bible is meant to be a central unifying instrument, supposed to be. But the problem is, there are hundreds of translated versions of the Bible. So none of those are in the language of the revelation. So whose Bible? Whose interpretation? Which version of the Bible? We can understand there that in this particular situation there is going to be a lot of arguments. You can't agree on the Bible. You can't agree on the version of the Bible. So you are going to have arguments. In Judaism, for example, who is a Jew remains a bone of contention. And it has got more to do with racism than to do with an ideology. It depends where you come from, your ethnic background, that makes you a Jew or doesn't make you a Jew, more than on beliefs. But look at our situation. Allah's word in the Quran has been preserved. Right? In the original language, the way it was revealed upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has then preserved, not only that, Allah has preserved the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the minutest details. Pick up Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, you find 52 chapters dealing with how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked, how he spoke, how he talked, what he ate. All of those are preserved. And therefore the question, whose Quran, whose sunnah, is absurd. You can't even bring in this. You can't even bring in this particular question, whose Quran. The Quran is unanimously accepted by all Muslims. The Sharia is derived from the Quran and sunnah. With these two twin rock solid foundations, Islam remains a sure and uncompromised source of guidance the way no other religion and ism is. True, there are differences of opinion with regard to fiqh issues the way I have explained. But we should not over exaggerate our differences. Together with all those differences, let us consider, are there any differences between the Imams with regard to the articles of faith? Is there any difference? Is there any difference with regard to the pillars of Islam? Does anyone say that there is more than five pillars of Islam? Is there any difference between good and evil? Is there any difference between the definition of what is right and what is wrong? Does anyone say al-yadu billah adultery is right? All of these, none of all these issues, there is difference of opinion. These are issues that are at the core of the collective life of the society. So let us not, in the meanwhile, over exaggerate some of the things when we have so much common things. And this is where there is a very important thing. That doesn't mean in any way that you now are free to choose whatever you want. Just do whatever you want and there is no accountability. Because in that you will be following your desires, you will not be following the Sharia. You have a fiqh, follow that. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, apne maslak choro nahi, kisi ka maslak chero nahi. Don't leave your maslak, don't leave what you are doing on the basis of your fiqh, don't go and interfere in the fiqh of others. At most, if you have a difference, then discuss it. Try and put your viewpoint forward. And then on the other hand, if that person accepts, alhamdulillah, if he doesn't, he says, I'm happy with us, let him do that. Do not make it a means of argument and quarreling. Apne maslak choro nahi, kisi ka maslak chero nahi. You don't leave your maslak. You see, and today, it's quite amazing that you have been doing something for 20, 30 years. If you have been doing something for 20, 30 years, if someone were to create a suspicion and a doubt over what you have been doing for 20 or 30 years in a half an hour talk, then you must question how well you have understood what you are doing. If someone can create a doubt in your mind over what you have been doing for 20 and 30 years, for over a decade, then you must question yourself. You haven't understood why you are doing something. How can someone create a doubt with regard to what you are doing? You know, even if you don't agree with regard to it, how can he create a doubt with regard to it? You remain firm on what you believe in, and you must be firm with regard to that. To give an example, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he was traveling, and you look at the life of the Sahaba in the initial stages, there was great difficulty, great poverty. Towards the end, and also after that, Allah Ta'ala opened up the doors with regard to futuhat, victory, and booty came in. So one day, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going on a camel conveyance with students and with great splendor. A non-Muslim came past, and he was in torn and tattered clothes. And he approached Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, "Is this what your Nabi said, a dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir? Dunya is a prison for the believers, and it is jannat for the disbelievers. Look at me and look at you. Look at your pomp and splendor, look at my torn and tattered clothes. Is this what the Prophet said, a dunya sijnul mu'min? Dunya is a prison for you and is a jannat for me. Is this my jannat and is this your prison?" Subhanallah, what an answer he gave. He said, and this is now what I'm talking about, your firmness in what you believe in. He said that compared to what Allah kept for you in the year after, punishment, this is jannat for you. Even in your torn and tattered clothes. And compared to the reward Allah kept for the believer, wallah, this is a prison for us. Now look at that, there was no doubt with regard to the matter. So we don't, with regard to doubt, if someone comes, yes, we do have difference of opinion in this particular way. How do we deal with that is always a very important subject. How do we deal with it? Today, unfortunately, we find that the whole atmosphere of our community is becoming poisoned. People are just lashing out at one another. Some do it through the means of the pen because they have the ability with the pen. Some do it through the means of the mic. Some do it through the means of the airwaves. What is happening? Each and everyone is scoring points. Each and everyone is knocking one another down. Where does it end? Where does it end? If we don't realize this particular, you know, parameters, where does it end? Where will we continue? How long will we continue in this way? So we will just continue in this. Each and everyone will call one another names. And then where does it end? What happens to the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What happened to the ordinary person who becomes confused? Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, you know, used to say a very amazing thing. He used to say, once upon a time, the Muslims have power and authority. When they had power and authority, then they used to fight over power and authority. They used to fight about khilafat. They used to fight about, you know, authority on khilafat, on things that were of great because Muslims had power and authority. He said, when power and authority has been lost, now what do we have? We fight about masla masail. So now we're fighting about fiqh, which was never meant to be a point of fighting. So he said that once you had power and authority, you fought on power and authority. You fought about land. You fought about dominion. Now you don't have that, you fight about masla masail. Masla masail, is it something to fight about? Let me conclude with two ayats of the Holy Quran. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is Allah's rahmat upon you that you are kind and compassionate to the people. When was this ayat revealed? After the battle of Uhud. Uhud, what happened? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was left with a small group of people to defend him. After that, many people felt regret over what had happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala tells the people, it is Allah's mercy that the Prophet of Allah is kind and compassionate to you. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. If he was harsh, if he was abusive, people wouldn't have come around him. People would have come around the Nabi of Allah. It is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's kindness that bring people around Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What does this ayat mean? If there is going to be harshness in our tone, if there is not going to be kindness and consideration, then the ummah is going to be dispersed. This is what the ayat tells us. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Inna Allah rafiq yuhibbu rifq." Allah is kind, Allah loves kindness. In another hadith, wherever kindness comes into our attitude, into our behavior, into our speech, it adorns it. Whenever kindness is away from our speech, our attitude, it makes it ugly. It makes it ugly. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ Allah's rahmat that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is kind upon you. Allah Ta'ala says in another place, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the Rasul of Almighty Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ Those who are with the Prophet of Almighty Allah, they were severe upon the disbelievers. But they were very merciful upon one another. They were very merciful upon one another. What is our situation today? So these are type of things that we need to address as we look at the difference of opinion, which seems to be coming more to the fore than previously. Perhaps previously, those difference of opinion were not as common the way it is now. Maybe part of the reason we lived a very isolated life in South Africa. Now, of course, with things opening up, we see our brothers who come from different parts of the world. I mean, let us ask ourselves a question. Do we feel less sad? Do we feel less anger? Maybe. Do we feel less anger that the people of Somalia have been oppressed by the American people? They have been oppressed by the American military might. Do we feel less angry because they do not follow our madhab? Do we feel less pain because they are not following our madhab? وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ وَالْكُفَّارُ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ These are ways that we need to do, otherwise we are just going to go into a cycle of accusations, counter-accusations, you know, calling one another names, and this, in my opinion, is not good for the ummah. May Allah give you a tawfiq of understanding and making amal. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ